QC, Ed and Darren love feeling fresh in the morning. But for those morning pick-me-ups, they grab a regular cup of freshly ground coffee for just $2. Available 24-7 at 7-Eleven.
Good morning. And get up. Now count me in. QC, Ed and Darren. QC, Ed and Darren. Gather on your radio now for QC, Ed and Darren.
Do the open, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we should do the opener, guys.
It's already started. It's open.
This is it, guys.
For
open.
Business.
Say yeah. Something funny or smart, you guys.
No, right. Here's a weird one. You know how I'm bang on about endone?
Yeah, man.
So the other night, a bloke in my front row said, he said, yeah, I've got endone. I said, where? And he said, in my apartment. Do you want to come and grab it? I'm
Classic.
Like, mate, you're an audience member. It'd be weird for you to do that. I'm not going to go to your house. You might, you know, kill me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So never heard any of, and then like 2 weeks later, the same guy is in the audience. He followed me.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
No, no. And then he gave me a packet of Endone.
Did you take it?
Nope. It's not weird.
It's weird.
You took it, right?
What?
You took the packet, did you?
Well, I didn't want to be, like, ungrateful.
Have you tried one?
What? No.
Of course not.
Yeah. Why would I?
Such a liar. Mate, this is safe space, to be honest. You absolutely have. Was it
right,
sealed?
So what
was
are you in the market for? You're up on stage. What are you on the next audience? Like, you're up. You've got some gigs coming up. We're talking Emmore. We're talking local venues. What are you, comedy store? What do you want people to be packing front row?
No, I can't ask them to pack anything.
Why not? Pack.
Because it's It's not right.
I reckon you can, You can offer a discount. You can offer a discount.
I did a radio show with someone not in this room many years ago, and I don't know how, but the person that provided them with relief somehow got the station number and used to call during the show to say that they had what they needed.
And they would, wonderful. Right. And that person would take, is that person still working, your friend?
Yeah.
A lot?
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah, right.
It wasn't on his phone. Do you get it, Ez?
Like, yeah, I get it. Absolutely.
That's nailed it down.
So he was doing deals.
Yeah, it was just easy if you did it through the work phone.
Mate, a lot of people in our industry, why do we all need relief?
Because we're egomaniacs.
So we have to deal with each other.
We have to deal with our own heads.
I blame everyone else.
But at least there's awareness. Like, so many people in our position don't have awareness of how ridiculously stupid they are. But we do.
Yeah.
I reckon. Don't you reckon?
I think we do. I don't know if it helps, but we do.
We try. Enjoy the podcast.
Bye.
This is Eye on
Sydney.
We love Sydney.
We do.
It's been a tricky, that's not the right term. It's been an awful, awful weekend.
Right term. It's quite disconcerting, actually. It feels like even yesterday I went, I was with Mum and Eliza and we sat down at this place to have dinner and this guy walked in with a backpack and sat down, just a very, normal thing to do, sat down, ordered a glass of wine, and I just looked at the backpack and, I just feel like everyone's a little bit on edge at the moment. One thing that might, return some people back to normality, Bondi Junction opens on Friday, but today it's going to be a day of reflection. So they're opening the stores, but they're opening the shopping centre, but no stores will be open. Right.
You can walk through it.
And just kind of reflect, condolences, take flowers if you like.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of families will be doing that of people that were killed there. And anyone in the community can go in and do that. Then they'll reopen on Friday. And then there's also a vigil on Sunday in Bondi that the New South Wales government's putting on. So that's at around 5:30 p.m. at Dolphin Court at Bondi Beach. That's just south of the Bondi Pavilion. So people, the community can go there and I guess, try and seek comfort in others who are going through a similar thing.
Well, yes, and we do have to. We've just got to always remember that most people are just so good.
Absolutely.
Most people are great.
The vast majority.
But it's tough, isn't it? I mean, I went for a jog the other day and then I got on the light rail all sweaty and I thought, do I look weird?
Because your fears are the opposite. Like, you're worried that. See, I'm always worried that someone else is likely to do something. Your fear is that people think you'll be likely to do something.
No, absolutely not likely to do anything. And I probably shouldn't have sat down on the tram.
Really?
Yeah. When you're sweaty, I think you should keep standing.
No, just don't do public. You shouldn't be doing public transport if you're sweaty. It's feral.
But
just run home. Why didn't you run home?
Because I was tired. I'd run 5 kilometres and I was tired. So
yeah.
I would get on the light rail. I tapped on
spread
though.
Spread
so
some
I,
of your DNA. Good for you.
Look, our DNA, we're all... So you're gonna go for a walk through Bondi Junction today.
And I think I might actually. I might go. My daughter's got another little bubble spa day camp thing today, so I think the Savo. Yeah, I might just go and see what it's like, and yeah, and just I don't know what
will you,
what
will
the
you reflect
is.
It on social media. You think or do you?
No.
The Husey, Ed and Aaron podcast.
Bradley Cooper and Gigi Hadid have gotten serious.
Jennifer Lopez in tears over hubby Ben Affleck.
It's showbiz.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's showbiz, and we just did Eye on Sydney. This one involves a Sydney as well. In fact, a very attractive Sydney, Sydney Sweeney, the actress. Yesterday morning we saw this around, but we wanted to wait for the right of reply to bring it to you, which has been given. Her agent has come out. So let me tell you what happened originally. So this woman called Carol Baum, who's like a well-known producer, is she, Ed? Have you heard of her or no?
She produced some big movies. No,
yeah, she's produced some kind of big, you know, Father of the Bride she did in Shining Through. So this is her to a kind of class of students and different people in this kind of conference she was doing. She said, there's an actress who everybody loves now, Sydney Sweeney. I don't get Sydney Sweeney. I was watching on the plane Sydney Sweeney's movie, Anyone But You, because I wanted to watch it. I wanted to know who she is and why everyone's talking about her. I said to my class, so this is her acting class, explain this girl to me. She's not pretty. She can't act. Why is she so hot? Nobody had an answer.
No. Oh, so that is hurtful.
Yeah,
hurtful.
So she's, I mean, it's not even like she's intimated. She has said she is not pretty. She can't act.
That's an opinion, but you know what? Anyone But You is a film set in Sydney, the city, and it is a worldwide smash hit with her and Glenn Powell from Top Gun.
Yes, so it took a little while. It was a slow start, which is unusual, and then just completely took off. But look, Sydney Sweeney's rep has now come out and essentially hit back.
What did she say?
How sad that a woman in the position to share her expertise and experience chooses instead to attack another woman. If that's what she's learned in her decades in the industry and feels is appropriate to teach her students, that's shameful.
It feels like an older lady outburst. Yeah.
Can I throw in my 2 cents?
Something your mum would do.
Yeah. You know? May I?
Yeah, what's your 2 cents?
The opinion on her looks is not really appropriate. I think that's quite nasty, and it's just blatantly untrue, to be honest, because she's incredibly attractive.
Yeah, she's got it. Yeah, Sydney Sweeney has got it.
She is absolutely attractive, yes, in every single way. This is her, you know, doing a Hooters joke. You can't do Hooters jokes unless you're really hot.
I've tried to work at other jobs, and I can't. I worked at an airport. No planes took off. I was a crossing guard. Thousands died. But if you don't think I belong at Hooters, I'll go.
So, like, you can't make... The whole thing with her is that she's just so hot. The can't
she's also got
act,
a sexy voice.
Her she does, voice is, absolutely.
Yeah, there's something about her. It's
but
just,
I got to say, the can't act thing, that's okay. Yeah, if you're going to be a big movie star in the world, just like an athlete who gets his game criticized, I think, you know what, that's an assessment of what she's chosen to do for a living. And it's not nice, but I don't think, you know, what kind of a world, like, you know, that's an opinion that this woman who's in the industry has. And yeah, I think the not pretty one is not okay, but the can't act, I think that's her right in an industry. It's not like, you know, if there was a doctor who couldn't operate, you'd be allowed to say that.
Can operate. I mean,
some doctors can't. Or like a footy player, like, you know, when you become, you know, who can't tackle or can't.
What about?
We say that all the time in commentary. Well, he can't tackle. He can't run fast. He can't. That's part of the gig.
I haven't done this on air. I talked about it in the podcast. But what about that bouncer who at my very own venue where I was performing for a month told me I wasn't funny?
Yeah, see, that's fair.
A bouncer.
But did he say that you weren't hot?
No, that wasn't
hot. then that's okay.
I did have a sling on at the time, though, and I was walking to the toilet when he said it. Then he said, you want me to go in there and help you out?
What?
Yeah. I wanted to hold it for
What do you think you were doing in the toilet?
What a roller coaster.
No, I don't want you to stay here and think about what you said, mate.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway, just keep your opinions to yourself if they're negative. Yeah. We're all sensitive.
And if you're going to offer to go into the toilet with someone, have a better offer than help you out.
Today FM. So dog owners, listen up. Mm. We've got a lot of dog owners are listening to us. Their phones went berserk.
Mm-hmm.
Good people, generally, dog owners. Are they? What's your problem with them, guys?
Oh, well, I don't know about you, Aaron, but our front sort of median strip at the house, every day I wake up and overnight some scumbag has let their dog defecate and not picked it up. Or their second trick is to put it in a bag, but then put it in my bin if it's bin night. I did not, like I have a 1-year-old who's in nappies. Can I just wander to their house and
absolutely
drop a few loads there? Or maybe cut out the middleman?
Well, what if they're
open
up tighter,
open up your wheelie bill, mate.
If
can I bust
tighter,
a squat here?
Tighter.
Nah, sorry, that's a no-go. And look, we've always known this, Ed. We've always known how dodgy dog owners are, but now we've got a survey that proves it. This survey by Pure Profile March, a massive, what's it called?
Reputable. Very reputable.
Very reputable. And what's the number of people, the sample size? A massive sample size, can only be accurate. 60% of Sydney siders would support councils using DNA technology to trace an abandoned dog poo back to its owner.
Right.
Now, I tell you why we'd need to be able to do that, because 46%, and I think that's probably the only inaccuracy is it's too low, would leave a poo behind if they did not have a bag and they could get away with it.
No, that's, I don't believe
it. No, they do. I watched it in action getting my hair done. And you know looked at the poo, looked around, and then kept walking.
Oh, that just makes me so angry.
I've grown as a human over my dog-owning journey, and I was that person back in the day.
Yeah, right.
I was like, if a dog poos in a park and no one sees, it didn't happen, you know, like the tree falling. But now I'm not like that. I will do anything to get rid of my dog's
grown
poo.
As a
you don't need a bag, find a big leaves.
And then what do you do?
In the day. Yeah. You just get the like poo on the leaf and then you walk the leaf.
It didn't happen.
Poo on top to a bin. But now I'm not like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Walk it like you're a waiter.
A mezzanine plate.
Oh, you don't need a bag, find a big leaf.
I would do that.
I tell you that the listeners that we have are responsible dog owners and they wouldn't walk away from their own dog's feces.
Stephen from Penrith, what type of dog have you got?
Yeah, like, guys are going to be Rottweiler.
Like a waiter. Well, a big poo. Big dog, big poo.
That's awful, man.
He will do massive poos, doesn't he?
Oh, you're telling me, mate. You know what I mean?
Wait, what's a massive poo, Stephen? Give me like a size of something I'd understand.
I don't know. You'd probably just fit it in your hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, no, you wouldn't, mate.
Yuck.
You'd have to have big hands, buddy. No, a loaf of bread. Pretty much a loaf of bread.
Stop it.
Your dog would nip off.
And would you throw it in? Oh. This is gross.
Mate, honestly, would you poo on the floor at home and leave it there? You know what I mean? It's
actually, I had a friend
you
in year four when I lived in Indonesia who used to, she's from a different country. I won't say which one, but she used to poo on the floor at home.
A lot of people poo on the floor. A lot of people poo on the footpath. And there's that is disgusting.
That's hard to defend, isn't it, defense?
What's happened?
So, but Stephen, hand on heart, you always look after your dog's poo.
Always, mate, always. 100%.
Yeah. See?
Responsible dog owners.
Okay.
So the only people who listen to us.
What about Jen from Miranda? What do you got, Jen?
Well, I must admit I've got two ways of doing it. I will always pick it up from a neighbour's lawn or on a walk because I've had a child step in poo and
that's right
out of their runners is really awful.
Yes.
That's disgusting.
But if he goes underneath a bush or in the garden underneath a tree, like a covered bush, I would leave it there for compost.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually agree with Jen on that. If it's deep in the bush, you're not going in there to find it. You know, it's you might cover it with leaves and then move on. But not you don't do it anywhere where someone might step.
No,
they're not stepping
not
in that bush, are they, Jen? If they were in there, they'd probably need, you know, they'll ask them for trouble if they're going in a bush like
absolutely
that.
Absolutely. And I really do think you need to be responsible. It's like looking after your child. You look the same thing after your dog.
Can I ask, Jen, are you married, single? What's your sitch?
No, I've got a partner.
So this survey also found that 35% of Sydney siders find someone less attractive if they're holding a bag full of dog poo. What do you make of that?
No, I think that would be good because my partner won't pick it up. And I think, and I don't like that.
You think
so
less
I would actually
of him.
Be, well, not less of him, but I don't like it.
No,
so I'm
not
like
that.
I feel like he's doing that because he wants to stay attractive to people out there on the walk, you know.
Why would Jen's partner want to be attractive to other people? He's got Jen.
Well, he shouldn't. He's got, you know, why go out for sausages when you've got steak at home, you know?
Are you a steak, Jen, or a sausage?
No, I'm actually a lobster.
Wow. Even more expensive. Lobster.
Yes, you are, girlfriend.
Yeah, delicious.
This is the Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
Keeping our eye on these big musicians. No, is there some Beyonce news there?
Yeah,
right?
Well, we know that she's made country music hot again. I know. I was only saying that because country music people get really angry when that is said, because I agree with them. It's not fair. It was already massive.
John Williamson, song, give him a shout out. John Williamson, Australian country.
Give me a home amongst the gum trees. Oh, true blue.
Don't say. This is Beyonce.
She should do that. Well, imagine if Beyonce did that.
She's butchered Jolene. She could turn her attentions to this next.
Wouldn't that be just some...
Well, Tones and I maybe get an Aussie to do it. Tones and I could do that.
Anyway, mate, I don't know if this two-year-old boy will be happy with anyone else doing it, because this little kid in America has gone viral for this little video where he's somewhat excited by the prospect of meeting Beyonce and wants to know why he can't. Have a listen.
Beyonce.
What?
Beyonce.
Where or who?
Where is Beyonce?
Beyonce's in her house, baby.
Can they visit Beyonce?
No, we don't know her personally. We don't know her personally.
Beyonce is my friend.
Beyonce is your friend?
Yeah.
You know what? Okay, I'm just going to call it.
Done it.
I'm really annoyed because, like, I don't show my child on social media, but my child does so much better stuff than 99% of the other kids. And I film so many moments that are so funny and so clever and that would go viral. But because of my stupid decision to protect her privacy, I can't share any of them. And she would be a bona fide star.
But she may not be, honestly. It's all luck. I've had some great videos better than that one.
That was that nothing. I get it. Rubbish. Okay, I brought it to the table.
Absolute rubbish. Kids when they were younger used to do some of the best stuff, and I would put them on. I would put them on and get nothing. I'm like, how's that not gone viral?
It's awful.
It's a conspiracy.
It is.
The algorithm.
So that kid's going to be rich.
I know. No. That kid's going to meet Beyonce. You watch. Beyonce will be like, let me go.
Still angry about Charlie bit my finger, honestly. Wasn't that good?
They made money.
Charlie bit the finger?
Yeah, I know, man. I didn't know it till you guys told me about it, but... That's not even
Charlie
clever.
Bit the finger.
It's
how many
funny.
Billion
it's
views
not...
has Charlie bit the finger at?
Stupid.
Stand by.
Why has he done so much funny, cute stuff? And she's so cute. And no one knows. People might think she's not cute, and that's why I don't show her. I just want to put it on the record. She is so cute.
She is cute. There's no doubt about it. Like, we really had a cute video of a sheep chasing our daughter around that backyard.
And what? Did you share
headbutting?
It?
Yes.
And why didn't it go viral?
Didn't take off. You've got a two-year-old kid and a sheep in your backyard.
Mate, can I tell you, the algorithms have changed. Put it up today. Get that video and repost it, man. Repost it. Honestly, it'll go off.
All right, I'm gonna
9 million views for Charlie bit my
9 million.
Finger.
Say more than that.
I was gonna say,
and then
a lot.
On the first post, and then it sold as an NFT. The video itself sold as an NFT, so now someone owns it as an NFT, a non-fungible token. So it was sold digitally and was sold
for how much?
$770,000.
Not sold.
Bargain.
It's like a bargain.
Not a bad. We should have invested. Should have invested in the finger biting gear.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
Grease the musical, the Sydney Capitol Theatre. Only until the 1st of June. Get your tickets at greasemusical.com.au, or you can call us, actually. 131060 lines are open. Get yourself a double pass to see the classic musical Grease, starring the one and only Patty Newton. Patty, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I love the starring bit. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
How
big
are you
other starring beside me?
No, that don't matter, though. How big is your role, Patty?
Well, it's funny, really, because it's really a little cameo role.
No.
Never.
No, it is. No. But it's a
thing of small roles, a thing of small actors. Is that right? Yeah.
Well, it has grown. My kids have just been up here because it's school holidays in Melbourne. And the 3-year-old, I said, "What did you like the best?" He said, "I liked you when you were that green lady and you did the funny walk and you growled at all the people." And I thought, well, there you go. That was my role for him.
Yeah.
And Monty loved Kinnicky and, you know, all the grease lightning and all of that sort of bit.
Yeah, so cute.
And Marsha Hines. She's become my new best friend.
Oh, we love Marsha.
Do you love Marsha?
Yeah,
you
know, I've hung out in tents with Marsha in Adelaide. We were both doing the Adelaide Fringe.
Right.
She was doing a show, Velvet.
Clarify that, mate. You've got to clarify. If you say I've just been in a tent with Marsha Hines, you've got to give it context.
No, Marsha Hines is as fresh as she's ever been. And that's what we love about her. It's also what we love about you, Patty. You don't have to work. You're independently wealthy, but you obviously...
Oh, I am not.
You are. Come on.
How does he know about... Yeah, exactly.
He keeps buying houses.
I know.
Yeah, but that's
he owns apartment blocks.
No,
Patty, that's not the... just the buildings inside the units, blocks.
Lend me one day when I'm really poor.
I'll be honoured to have you live in an apartment.
You're honoured to live with me, okay? I'll remember that.
Tents with Marsha, living with you, Patty. He is unforgivable.
You must just, you just still love treading the boards. Obviously you do.
Well, it's funny really because when I lost Bert, I thought I didn't want to do anything and probably not even move out of the house or get out of bed. But a few things were offered. I think it was the Logies was the first thing. I thought, oh, this is not too bad. It keeps me alive.
Yeah.
And then I got invited to do Mary Poppins, and my granddaughter hadn't been very well and she was in the children's, and I was thinking, oh, this is a bit of a sad case. And the phone rang and it was John Frost, and he said, I was wondering if you'd be interested in doing Miss Lynch in Greece. And just then a yellow butterfly flew onto my windscreen. I pulled over to the side to talk to him. And the butterfly hovered, and it just sort of hovered on my windscreen for the whole conversation.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, you know what, that's Bert telling me you should do this. Because he did the last session of Greece in 2011, I think it was, 12. Yeah. And I know he loved this show. And you know what I did the other day?
What?
The kids were here. And I took them all to, I don't know how you say it, Madame Tussauds.
Yes, the Wax Museum.
I saw that. Yeah.
And who greeted me? I was looking for the man to buy the tickets. And who greeted me?
What?
But Bert, standing with both arms open.
Oh, beautiful. I love that.
And I got goosebumps. I just got goosebumps then.
Yeah.
And
that's a good likeness, isn't it?
Oh, it is
amazing.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
We love it.
Musical.com.au or 1360. Lines are open. Patty's brought in some double passes for us to go to the show. Thank you, Patty. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Lovely to be here.
Today FM. Talking signs from beyond the grave. They've passed to the other side, but they've shown you they're still around. Happened to Patty Newton, didn't it?
Yes.
You told us, Bert.
But I love it because it's not a science, right? Anything you feel is that connection can be and could be. So I think it's really cool.
Well, who we got?
Well, we've got Rachel. Rachel, is this your grandfather? What happened?
About 20 years ago, my sister and I, my grandfather passed away, and my sister and I were at home just sitting in the lounge room. The front door was locked because our parents had gone out and we were scared being home by ourselves. And next minute we heard a harmonica playing, and my grandfather played the harmonica, and then the front door, which was deadlocked, swung open.
Well, he's there.
Yeah, it is.
He's there looking after you.
Wow.
He will always be looking over you and always wishing the best for you, won't he, Rachel?
I believe that with all my heart.
What's his name?
His name was Mortimer Lewis.
Mortimer.
What a great name.
Classic.
Probably listening right now, proud that you're on the radio.
Hope so.
Thanks, Rachel.
I reckon you've probably done other things you'd be prouder of, Rach, but thanks.
Yeah, but this is broadcast.
Yeah, but you're using how you define importance, like public and lots of audience members, but Rachel might define it differently.
What a harmonica player, though. What bloody Mortimer.
And why would he open the door? Because then they'd be in danger.
No, because he's there to help them.
Okay, I'm done, Ed, if you were waiting.
Rochelle from the Ponds. So this was an uncle? What was this, Rochelle?
Yeah, good morning. This was my husband's uncle.
Right.
He passed away when my youngest daughter was just about two. And not long after he passed away, she hadn't actually met him very many times, but we were leaving our house one day, and from when we were where we drive out of the driveway, we can see to a window on our staircase. And she said to me, why do we have to leave the house when Uncle Mario's still inside?
Ooh.
Yeah. And then there was actually another one that she had a toy room, and I told her it was lunchtime. I made her a sandwich, and she asked me to make him a sandwich as well because she was busy playing with him.
Oh, gosh.
So Uncle Mario was a lovely man as far as you can remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you'd be comfortable with him, his ghost, just hanging out?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very much a family man.
Yeah, he was loved. How old was Uncle Mario when he passed, or approximately how old was he?
He was 52.
Oh,
yeah, young bloke.
Wow. Yeah, very young. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Thanks, Rochelle. Now,
he lives on.
He does. Now, David from Blacktown, is this your grandma?
Yes, it is, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good.
We're great. We're loving these stories.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah, guys, it was a Saturday night, probably about 25 years ago, precisely 7:48 of an evening, calm evening, just outside having a drink, you know what I mean, by myself.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, my pantry door just slammed shut. I was home alone. Like, you couldn't slam this thing any harder.
Sure.
And the wind chime outside just started going, like, ballistic, you know what I mean? And literally 30 seconds later, my cousin rings up from interstate saying that grandma died. And I thought, wow. You know what I mean? It was, no wind at all, nothing.
Wow.
We're extremely close, grandma and I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the time she died, the actual time she died, is that when all the stuff went crazy at your house?
Yeah, 100%. Like, it was 7:48, literally 30 seconds later, bang, he rings up saying grandma died, you know what I mean?
Grandma. Wow. You loved your grandma, didn't you, David?
Oh, 100%. I've got goosebumps now just speaking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, has she
what
come
was her
back
name,
since?
David? What's her name?
Rafaela.
Yep.
She come back since, David, or it was just that one moment?
No, just that one moment.
Wow.
Just that one moment. That's it.
Just
to
say goodbye. I reckon she just said goodbye to you, mate, saying good luck with everything.
Yeah, take
care.
Bloody love you,
I
David.
I couldn't be in the state with us, so, that was so good.
One final big hug from Grandma.
This is the Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
Mayday, mayday. This is relationship number 456. We've got no choice. We're going to have to make an emergency landing.
Crash investigator Hughes, we have reports of a relationship crashing and burning off the coast of Tinder.
My God, not another one. Did we recover the black box?
We sure did.
Well, stop wasting time. Get that thing open and let's see what went wrong.
When Jess swiped right to John on Tinder, things went from 0 to 100 real quick.
Got a photo of Jess. She's a hot hipster. Is that what we're saying, Erin?
She is a hot hipster. I love those overalls. They're really making a comeback.
Oh, and she's got an old-fashioned camera. Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's
and a sunny disposition.
So, Husey's playing John. Erin is playing Jess.
Hey, cutie. Someone wins the award for cutest smile on Tinder.
Ha, 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 ha. Sorry, but your opening line was horrific. Come on, you're way too attractive to be using that as your opening line.
No, I mean it. Your smile is gorgeous.
Mmm.
Okay, Jess, let's start again. Hey, Jess, I like your photos. You seem like you know how to have fun.
See, that's a way better opening line. Hey, John, thanks so much. I like your profile too. I see you're also a big fan of hiking and beers.
Yep, sure am. You know what else I like? Coming home after a big hike and having a bath.
I only have a shower at my place, but that does sound good.
You know what's even better than a bath?
What?
Sex.
I see.
You should come over. We'll skip the hike and get straight to the bathtub part. Winky face. I bet you're dirty. I could clean you. Winky face. Clean bath bubbles for my dirty girl.
Dude, WTF. We literally matched 20 minutes ago. I think you'll be attending your sexy time bubble party solo tonight, champ.
Boom.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
So that was it? Was it Jess? No further contact?
No, that was it. Boys are gross.
Is that what they do, though? So this is, I was talking last night about the dating app stuff. So people, they're obviously just determining whether or not you're open to sex by introducing it very early and then moving on straight away if you're not down with it.
Yeah, look, that part's kind of all right if you're down for that, that it works well. Yeah. But, you know, that's not what I'm here for.
No.
Yeah, but So, I mean, from his point of view, when he said the bath and you said you've only got a shower, I think his imagination went berserk from that moment, to be honest.
Yes, mine didn't.
But see how men can turn that comment into, oh, well, she was being suggestive and leading me on. I mean, utterly ridiculous.
You've been doing no such thing.
Do they hit you up all the time, or do they get straight to the point, like on most Tinder interactions, really quickly?
I mean, some are like that and some are not, and some the conversations just end. I don't know. I guess that's just the world of Tinder.
Mm. Is that the main one that you're on, Tinder?
Yeah, and Hinge sometimes, but Tinder's probably the main one.
Yeah. Hmm. Do you go on many dates from Tinder?
Occasionally, but I normally just bring a deck of cards and play games and then see how that vibes, and then I'm out.
What? I think we've had someone send us a text from her about you, Jess.
Well, you got $500. Well done, Jess, not your real name. If you've got one, hit us up at todayfm.com.au.
The Husey, Ed and Aaron podcast.
Kanye West, one of the most famous people in the world. Probably, would he be top 20?
Oh,
most famous people in the world.
He's pretty up there, isn't he? But, you know, I couldn't have named a song that he has sung. I just know him through his
Gold
antics.
You know,
and
Gold
Kim.
Digger.
Oh, yeah. But if you'd asked me to name a song he sings, I couldn't have said Gold Digger. I know the song, but I don't know that he sings it.
But he was married to Kim Kardashian. They've got a number of children together, don't they?
Correct.
Anyway, they split up, possibly because he was going right off the edge.
Yeah.
But then he married an Australian woman, Bianca Censori, who is photographed all the time. She features at least twice a week because of why?
Because she doesn't wear much clothing. So she essentially wears see-through tights. Like she takes it. I've seen women wear little clothing, but she's taken it to a level I've never seen before. Like, it's shock factor.
She wore no pants and a pillow the other day.
Yeah. She wore a pillow.
She holds handbags in front of her pedunda.
She has a great... Oh, I don't want to say that.
No, I can say it. She has an incredible body.
Yeah.
Like, her body is like if you took it to, like, a factory, a prototype, and, like, that's the one you'd say, yep.
Yeah. So, but what you don't know,
but it
Aaron,
doesn't
is it,
matter looks.
No, I know, but that's it helps for the photos. So, what you don't know, Aaron, is
overnight going to Disneyland, Aaron. This time in a dress, probably because it's a it's a theme park, but because she has to do something strange, she was wearing no shoes but just her feet wrapped.
It was
like she's a gymnast.
Yes, like not like don't think concubine.
No, like a
like
gymnast.
It wasn't. Yeah, like a gymnast. Like she's like ankle strengthening wraps.
Strange,
it's bizarre.
Yeah, right. So that's also. But she always does something to get herself in the news. So, but we bumped into a friend of hers yesterday, so we can't sort of nail it down too much, but. A bloke who's known her since she was like a, 16 or 17-year-old.
Yeah, she was an architecture student.
So not a completed one or like
no,
she just, okay,
architecture
yeah.
student and then.
But she's still doing it, isn't she?
Well, this is the funny thing, Aaron, we found out that she still attends online classes for
Are
her
you
architecture
serious?
Degree. Yeah, whilst gallivanting the world with Kanye.
Now, Ed, I don't know why, but I tuned out a bit. But what did he say about her? What did our friend say about her?
Well, he said he remembered when she contacted the companies, one of Kanye's company. And then said, okay, yeah, and then went to work for him, Aaron. That's how they met.
So she...
Yeah, wow.
Just using a bit of gumption, just when I might just send an email and, hey, presto, she's over there.
She basically put Kanye West on her vision board.
Yeah.
And she's where she is because of her forceful mind.
I can tell you one thing, because she would have had a photo on her CV. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I
do
did,
with
we
that
did
what
ask,
you will.
Was she always stunning? And this gentleman says she was always very, very stunning and very pleasant and yeah. very dedicated.
Oh, yeah. I love that. So weird. You can be pretty hot and like dedicated and nice.
You can be the complete package.
I'm as shocked as anyone. So but that is that. 13, 10, 60. Let's play Kids Alpha Bucks. And
yeah,
if you're
and
thinking,
then on the subject of children, no. yeah, is it time for me to bring my son into line, or is it too late? Has the horse completely bolted? Today FM. Right now, though, I've got a question for people, right-minded people, about I need to know what to do. My son is 14 years old. Yeah, he's 6'3", whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got size 14 feet.
That's crazy.
Yes.
What else?
Yes, I'm now the owner of his Crocs because his mother put them in the dishwasher to wash them and they shrunk. And now they fit me.
The Crocs?
Crocs in the dishwasher.
Who told her to do that?
I don't know.
The hot water was always going to shrink them.
Well, they've shrunk to my size, which is good for me.
Oh, well played, Holly.
And it meant we had to buy him Birkenstocks because now Birkenstocks are apparently the cool thing for young people to be wearing, not Crocs. So.
Yeah, but what, my mum wore Crocs this week. She got out of the car when I went to collect her on Sunday and she said, sorry about the Crocs.
So I'm like, very late to the Crocs party, but now I understand Crocs. They are so comfortable.
I've never tried them. Yeah, I might have.
Yeah, you're a Crocs wearer.
No, but they're very good for children, Aaron, because, you know, we've got activities. We go to taekwondo, then we got soccer, then we got this, and we got that. They're easy to get on and off the Crocs.
Yeah, right.
Now, on the subject of children, my son is still a child at 14, even though he's tall, swearing too much. He's dropping the F-bomb in almost every conversation.
That's you.
It's not because of me.
Aaron, you are the sweariest bear that ever swore.
To be honest,
swear
that's true.
On stage, I don't swear on radio because we're not allowed to. But can you stop your children swearing?
No.
Should I just let him go for it? Or I say, mate, it's not necessary at home to be dropping F-bombs.
I think you've got it to some extent. Have boundaries around it just so he doesn't, you know, just really lean in. But I think as long as he knows where is appropriate and where isn't.
Can we do a snap poll? Do you allow your children to swear or is it an absolute no-go zone?
Anyone, what is the policy on swearing at your house? We know that you're probably swearing because it's school holidays and trying to think of something to go and do. So we have got it sorted for you. The epic battle between Marvel's greatest superheroes and villains. It's Kudos Bank Arena. It is tickets at Ticketek for Marvel Live. So we got family passes to that. We got family passes to Taronga Zoo. We got the Family Kids Fest, unlimited 3-hour wristbands.
So
we got you
good.
Covered.
Do you allow your children to swear? I know, Erin, you actually encourage your daughter to swear. We know that she swore on a tape and you've played that on air, haven't you?
Yeah, yep. When Emma Wiggle decided to retire from the Wiggles and I told Eliza, her response was, beep, Emma. In fact, have a quick listen.
Emma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was the magic.
What?
We just got the magic.
Yeah, that was a special moment in our lives. But
did she swear regularly?
No, God, no. No, she does not. Because I try not to swear as much in front of her anymore.
So if she dropped an F-bomb, she's never, apart from that F-bomb,
she says
F-bombs.
Like, damn, sometimes. Like, she says, you know, she says a few different things. She's really big into gestures. So her gestures are more offensive now than anything that comes out of her mouth.
Is she flicking the bird?
No, she just does a lot of crotch pointing.
Yep, strong message.
Like rapper style.
Yeah, like rapper style. It's really weird. Like last night, 18-footers boat club with my mum. She's doing that, pointing and gyrating, and she's really into it.
Goodness. Oh, that's a different topic. 13, 10, 60, lines are open. What is the policy on kids swearing at your house? Is it a free-for-all?
Arnie, six-year-old? Is he six? How old's Arnie?
My son is six. Yeah. We call him the C-bomb kid.
This is the Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
If I tell you, Mel B told my son last year to make sure that him and his friends... actually, maybe I shouldn't talk about this.
No,
she wanted them to be.
It.
She wanted them to be experienced at lovemaking before they get married. So this is a confronting conversation.
Was that an offer?
No, it wasn't an offer. No,
oh, right.
It was just
sorry.
Advice, live advice.
Right, okay.
No, that's what every
my
parent
son
wants.
My son, he's two 13-year-old mates.
Yeah. Did their parents know?
No, but their parents will be honoured that a Spice Girl is, you know, advising their son, I reckon. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, swearing. Your son is a swear bear because of you. And the question is on 131060, what is the policy at folks' house with children and swearing?
Yeah, I don't like him just dropping F-bombs just into conversation all the time. It's too much. He needs to stop. I believe he needs to stop.
That's you.
It's not me. I
Aaron,
temper it.
Yeah, no, I don't know, mate. I don't know about you tempering it. I know you use it in your act. Yes, like swearing's a big part of your humour. But day to day, it feels heavy too.
I don't think it is that heavy. And I think once you're 18, you can make your own decisions. But if you're under 18 and you live under someone else's roof, you need to listen to them.
Now, let's go to Clarice.
Yeah.
Ooh, Clarice from St. Clair. You got two boys. How old are they? And what's their swearing status?
And 16, and they use the F word and the S word, especially when they're hurting each other.
So they hurt each other. Your phone line's not great. I'm going to be honest there, but your phone line needs an F word used about it.
Sometimes, you know, they drop something on the floor or they hit each other out of frustration. It's just too hard to control these days.
Yeah, you gotta let it go.
So you don't say don't swear at home. You don't tell them not to swear.
I've tried, but you think teenagers listen?
Yeah, no, they don't.
That's a great point.
That's a really
all right.
Yeah.
They don't. So it's one for swearing. Jacqueline Avalon, how old are the children, and are they allowed to swear?
Hi guys, how are you?
Good.
Hello. So I've got twin 17-year-old girls. And a 19-year-old son, and no, they've never sworn at. Well, I can't say never, but no, they don't swear at home.
Oh,
no.
I love that you've raised them good.
I don't allow
good.
It. No.
Yeah.
So you're not a swearer at all, Jacqueline. Even if you hurt yourself, you wouldn't swear.
Oh yeah, occasionally on occasion, but no, I don't swear a lot, to be honest.
But it's like I have a glass of wine
at
night.
I just think it's respect.
Yeah, yeah. But my daughter wouldn't, so you can swear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't mean your kids can.
Yeah, well, I don't swear often, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know. Happy. I just don't.
Jacqueline seems like a happy person. not much has gone wrong in your life, Jacqueline, has it? It's just been smooth sailing.
Privilege
no,
life.
No,
Jacqueline.
Absolutely not. No, incorrect. No.
You just got a good attitude, my love.
Tough times. Yeah, I do. I know, I do. Well, you just got to get on with it, don't you? And. Yeah.
She's got a
great spirit, doesn't she?
She does, and it's a lovely little therapy session for Jacqueline. And here is Melissa from Genali. Righto, are the kids allowed to swear, Melissa?
They're not meant to, but I've got a 14-year-old and he swears, so my 4-year-old has started swearing.
Oh, it is cute, though, when they're little. Like, I find that that's almost mummy's proud. It's when they go into that 11, 12 space that it's more of a sin.
Yeah, definitely. But he copies his brother, so I can't stop it.
And what about, is dad on the scene? What's his situation?
He is, and every second word is the F-bomb, so.
There it is.
There it is.
Is he a tradie, is he?
He sure is.
Yeah. What trade's he in?
Have a guess, Izzy.
He's a bricklayer.
Oh. Bricklayers.
Really?
Oh, my God. They are on the edge. Is he on the edge of sanity?
Oh, yeah. He works like a Trojan.
Yeah.
He's a son. It's very hard job.
Oh, they just cook themselves.
Yeah, they sure do.
No. Yeah, no, bricklayers, they're tough people. Big, rough hands on him, Melissa. Yeah.
Very rough.
Yeah, real rough hands.
Sorry, we moved.
What are we doing?
Another space.
We have to have another child. Thank you.
With a different
father. Oh, my goodness. 60% of calls. Yes to swearing. It's
yes.
A free-for-all out there.
The Husey, Ed and Aaron podcast.
A lot of heroes appeared on Saturday at Bondi Junction, didn't they? Including the policewoman who shot the assailant.
Inspector Amy Scott, she is incredible. We had the New South Wales police chief on our radio show yesterday who said that she'd spoken to her, I think, because she'd done her official interview and that she was doing well, which is good to know. But yeah, a lot of people kind of acts of bravery. They've become kind of heroes in their own right. And Bollard Man was probably the number one. We heard from Albo, the Prime Minister, essentially offering him citizenship.
You are welcome here. You are welcome to stay for as long as you like. This is someone who we would welcome becoming an Australian citizen, although that would, of course, be a loss for France.
And he and another Frenchman have joined the Today Show, wasn't it, this morning and spoken about the ordeal. You know, we haven't heard much in detail, but have a quick listen. It's quite gripping.
Just like saw him, we just saw the eyes. It was like standing up. We saw the knife and we saw him coming. We just like, we have nothing. We just have to run. The ballard was there. Was about like, I would say 30 to 40 kilo. And just consider that like, it's too heavy. It's like, we can't run. We can't miss. We cannot do anything.
Yeah, my God.
So he picked that ballard up and he's, it's just an extraordinary situation. We've all seen the vision of him at the top of the escalator with the ballard and the crazed man with the knife trying to get up that escalator.
Because there's this segment, for those who don't know it, Bondi Junction, there's this kind of section, and look, it's in most shopping centres, a variant of, but there's a lovely cafe and then a kids' playing area. Where, you know, I've sat there with my child a million times. Most people have in that area. You kind of sit, have a coffee, and the kids can play in a playground. And that was apparently just behind him. So, you know, what he and his friend managed to do in those moments, you don't even want to think about.
The president of France, Macron, has hailed Bollard Man a hero and his friend as well. So it's amazing. Absolutely world news.
And so open again today for a day of reflection before it opens trading again, I believe, the day after.
Friday. I think anyone, members of the public, family, whoever likes, can go today and just reflect. The music will be quite low and all the screens will be black. So and no shops will be open, but tomorrow shops reopen. But that's going to be rough, particularly for people who work there, who witnessed what occurred. Yeah. I think we've got someone now.
Yeah, we do. A witness who was in Bondi Junction and has been asked to go back to work. Shawnee, thanks for joining us this morning. How are you feeling about going back to Westfield Bondi Junction?
Hi, good morning. How do I feel? I feel like I'm not sure when I want to go back. I definitely won't be going back today. Just the thought of, I think I would feel better perhaps if it was a busy trading day rather than it be quiet like that, because it is quite reminiscent of Saturday, because it was so empty and the lights were low anyway, at least where I work, we turn the lights off. So it's still so fresh and I'm still not sure how I feel about going back.
Yeah. Have you, like, it was the most traumatic moment of your life on Saturday, is that fair to say, or...?
I've never experienced anything in the ballpark of that. And, you know, I had a very close encounter with the guy. He was within a few meters of me, with the knife in his hand, and he walked straight past me. He glanced at me and he walked straight past me after, you know, I didn't know at the time, but after what he had done.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was in quite a vulnerable situation. And I mean, perhaps I'm lucky that he just kept walking.
So when he did walk past you, did you know there was a trauma incident occurring in the centre, or was it you didn't know anything at that point?
Well, no, I was on my break and I started running, and I asked someone what's going on, and a girl turned to me and said someone's been stabbed. And in that moment, I think I thought it was perhaps a domestic violence thing. You know, it's an isolated thing. They know each other. There was intent. Bondi Junction is huge. It's six levels. It's two sides. Yes. You know, I didn't think the danger was so close, and it happened so quickly. I ran down the escalator, went back to work, turned around, and there he was. Right.
Oh my God!
Right, so you're passing me.
So you almost ran into him.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. And that's what's quite haunting is I had my back to him as well. So he was passing me when I turned around. He absolutely had the advantage of me on me and could have if he wanted to, attacked me, but didn't.
Are you wondering why? Like, he was obviously targeting women. Do you go through your mind why didn't? Yeah.
Yeah. When I heard he was targeting women, it made me sick because, I am wondering why. And I will always wonder why. And, you know, I feel incredibly grateful that I am unscathed and I was able to call my family afterwards and say I'm fine. But I don't have any explanation for why he just walked past me.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
And so when he walked past you, and then did you go back into your shop, or what did you do then?
Yeah, because all the doors were locked when I came down the escalator from my break. And I looked through the slit in the door, and I said to one of my coworkers, I said, let me in. And it happened so quickly. As soon as I said, let me in, she came towards me. I turned around. There he was.
Oh,
and within within a moment, he was gone. And the door was open, and I was let in. And we locked all the doors. And within 5 minutes of that, we heard gunshots.
Oh,
we heard the gunshots. Yeah. And they were loud and close and terrifying. And that's when everybody piled into the stock rooms and took cover. Because
so you didn't know.
Yeah.
You didn't know what the gun, you thought it could have been a assailant shooting as well, yeah?
It could have, we didn't know how many people there were.
Yeah.
We had no information. And also when I heard these gunshots, I thought, surely not. Like these aren't sounds we hear in Australia. I've never heard gunshots in my life, in real life.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm in my 30s. So, yeah, just incredibly, incredibly confusing and disorientating you know, but none of us were prepared for any of this. It was a busy, busy, bustling Saturday afternoon, first day of school holidays, you know. And I remember saying to one of my coworkers, it's so busy. It's a busy, beautiful day. It just was so, so unexpected.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Shawnee. It's still, it's just, yeah, it gives you goosebumps. It's horrendous.
Thank you so much for speaking to us today.
Today FM. We're about to speak to a man who's had something done to his body.
You showed us a photo and I was like, we need to speak to this man on the air. You must have drugged him. Something weird's happened because his name is Clint. Now, Clint, it's safe to say that you're a fan of Husey's.
Yes, long-time fan.
Hey, Clint, you've got great taste, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I second that, Clint. I appreciate your support of my career, which has been going on over almost decades now where Clint's been involved.
That's fantastic.
Actually, Clint, we gave you a portrait of me and Ed back in the day, a portrait of both of us, didn't we, Clint?
Yes, and it's still hanging on my wall in the hall.
Wow, that's still so there. Beautiful.
Yeah, but you thought you were going to go further than that, and Clint revealed this to me after a gig recently, a stand-up gig, and I was shocked and I had to get a photo with it. What is on your left bicep, Clint?
It's a portrait of you for this year's comedy show.
Yeah, so it's a caricature which was done by a guy called Brad Blaze, which I've ended up using for a poster for my comedy show. And it is, you've got it done. It's quite big,
it's
isn't
not
it? Is it
small? It would be larger than an apple, smaller than a watermelon, maybe like a big grapefruit size.
Yes, it's very big.
It's big.
It's colourful and it's my face. And Clint, has there been any? It's like it was done on Easter. Was Easter Saturday? Was it?
Yeah, the morning before your show on Easter.
Yeah, Saturday. So you came that night and showed me. And he came back again. He was in the front row again, and I got him to stand up, and then I got him to turn around and show the whole amazing. Crowd the tattoo. Yeah.
So what did it cost you?
It cost me $528. It was like a four-hour sitting.
My, the time thing for me is the biggest. And it's not even that you've permanently inked your body or that, you know, you spent $500. Like 4 hours.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. 4 hours laying down nonstop, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in a lifetime, 4 hours.
It's not a big chunk, is it, so really?
It's well worth it.
Is there any regret at all in your heart that you've got this done, Clint?
No, not at all. 100% happy.
You got a bit of space on either side, Clint. Would Ed and I be a shot?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, God. Okay, that was embarrassing.
Oh, no. Why not? What do you mean, why not?
I'm happy
not?
To.
Oh, nah. Gee. Really? Well, thanks. Nah. That's so sweet. I've actually, someone has got me tattooed on them. I just can't remember them.
Have but they?
They do. They, during footy show days.
Ooh.
Whereabouts? You know, on their body?
On their body. I can't remember. I can't remember the details. I can't remember if it's true. I think it is, though. I think they showed
Josh
me once.
Dugan?
It wasn't Josh Dugan.
Yeah.
No. But someone does. If you know them, they're in 10,
what if someone's prepared to get Aaron tattooed on
Look, if you were
them.
Prepared to get me tattooed on your body, I would because
would you pay for it?
Absolutely. Every day of the week. If anyone wants to ring now, 131060, I will pay for you to get me tattooed on your body. There's right, a couple 13, of off-limit wow. places, though.
This is a crazy
nothing
offer.
Below the waist, above the knee.
No, it's going to be wherever they want. It's going to be wherever they want.
Let's put this to the people. Okay. A tattoo.
I'll pay for someone to get a tattoo of me on their
about
body.
To play.
Guys, the phones must not be working. Can someone open the switch? Oh, no, that's so sad.
No, someone. Erin will pay. She will pay you to get her image tattooed on you. 13, 10, 60. We need to do it quick because we've got, they're coming in now.
We're going to have to do it now.
Actually, Erin, one of them's you.
Yeah, you're calling, mate. We know your number, mate.
Gemma called as well.
Gemma is anticipating what's about to happen.
Oh, my God, this is so embarrassing.
We might pay yourself.
It can be small and hidden. Jesus, you don't need to get it on your face. Not what one a, person.
No, nah,
we've
got
one. Out of a cum of 400,000.
We've got one. Oh, someone.
Do we? Hello?
I believe so. They've never called before. This is a first time caller.
Yeah.
Let's say hello.
Producers, we've got to be quick here. Is this person?
Hello?
Well, morning. Hang on. Their name is Chuck.
Hello. Morning, Chuck.
Chuck.
Hi.
Oh, hey, Chuck.
Hey, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks.
Now, you're prepared to get Erin Molan tattooed on your body?
Sure, absolutely.
But would it
how
make
old
you
are
happy?
You?
Like,
would it make me what, sorry?
Like happy. How? Like, are you, would you say you've been a long-time fan of mine?
Just say yes.
Yes, absolutely. I listen to you guys all day, every day.
How old are you?
I am 32.
Okay, that's a good age. Right. I can't get in trouble from my parents then. So if I'm willing to pay... In fact, I'll do both girls. I'll pay both, to be honest. So you'll get a tattoo of me. Where will you get it?
I know I've got plenty of places.
Okay, great. We can think about that.
Do you want it visible or not? Do we want it like a forearm?
Sure.
Okay, forearm. That's amazing. Okay, let's talk to
forearm's
okay,
huge,
Chuck, we're on. I'm gonna pay for that. Cindy from Lucas Heights.
Oh god.
Yes.
Cindy, hi.
Hi.
Are you open too?
Yep, she's into it.
I will do it.
Whereabouts?
On my shoulder.
Okay. That's big. I'm writing
shoulder's
a list.
Good.
Chuck and Cindy. Guys, seriously. Oh, wait, let's get Dean so there's one bloke. Chuck, Cindy. Cindy, I'll pay for yours. I'll pay for yours. Chuck. Small, though. Let's not go overboard. What about
Dean's
Dean?
Also, he's going to get involved, we believe. Trying to work out whether he's...
Dean's got a bad line, but where does Dean want the tattoo?
He said he'll get it on the back.
Okay, done. Chuck, Cindy, and Dean. This could be the greatest day of my life.
Three people just.
Okay, just 200 each. Like, let's not go.
No.
Okay, you can go bigger. Fine. Okay.
Yeah, we're up to $350 each.
Guys, it's all for the tattoo. Guys, we're not actually allowed to pay for them to get tattooed.
What do you
we're
mean?
Not allowed to.
No, this happens all
okay,
the time.
Okay, guys, Instagram me and I'll transfer via bank.
Done.
Actually, no, I've still got some cash. I'll give you cash.
Yep.
Done. That'll solve it.
Why are we not allowed to?
Nothing could happen.
No, it's okay. We'll just, I'll sort it, man. We'll do backdoor to Venezuela.
Well, that's available.
Husey, Ed and Erin are done for another show. But to pick them up after an early morning wake up, they're off to grab a regular cup of freshly ground coffee for just $2. Available 24/7 at 7-Eleven. Husey, Ed and Erin.